Wednesday. We are here on another show for Wednesday, November the 25th, 2009. My name's Daniel Libby, and we got a big show coming up tonight. We got a lot of topics to get into. We have the H1N1, an update and debate on this issue of the mass vaccination campaign, which is currently underway in Toronto, in Canada, and all over the world. We have some different viewpoints on the H1N1, and we'll be getting into that. We got an interview with Dan Dix, a director with PressForTruth.ca, an activist filmmaker, we got some words from him. And we're also going to play, we got a few clips that we can play tonight. We got some info on the climate change controversy that's going on. We've also got some clips on the G20 meeting, which could be, it could be sooner than sooner than originally thought when people thought it was going to be in Huntsville. It looks like it's coming to Toronto. G20 this summer will be in town. Also, we got a few other clips. We might even get into playing a radio essay by Mumuya Abu Jamal, and of course we got some event listings, some music breaks, and we'll just be back on the Word of Mouth Wednesday right after we throw it to a quick interlude here, and we'll be right back on Word of Mouth Wednesday.
To power through corruption and deceit and the silencing of dissent, know that you are on the wrong side of history, but that we will extend a hand if you are willing to unclench your fist.
Major things are going on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. We are here for another show. It is our show for November the 25th. And we're just going to start off the show right away with the hottest topic of the day, H1N1. It's an emergency situation going on. We have a pandemic setup going on, mass vaccination clinics, and things are underway. And we're just going to start off by playing a few clips here about some of the stuff that we've been learning that's been going on. And we'll start off with an interview that I got to ask. We'll start off with a filmmaker, Stephen Davies of the Davies Channel, who's been producing a series online called the Don't Get Shot series. And it's a series on the H1N1 vaccines. And I asked him a bit about the work that he's been doing. And, you can hear it right here.
We interviewed at least a couple dozen fellow Torontonians about whether or not they're going to get the vaccine and their thoughts on the swine flu in general and what they know about it, what they know what's in the vaccine. So there's a video up there right now. It's called Don't Get Shot, Words from the Street. Check it out.
What was the mood of the people that day? Are people going to get it?
Well, you know, it was pretty mixed. I think the majority said no, but it was pretty mixed, and I tried to reflect that in the video. We kind of got a lot of people's kind of just varied reactions, you know. A lot of people buy into the whole mass media propaganda the last few weeks of just get the shot. So.
That's right. There's some big things going on. There's a major media campaign going on that is being funded by the government and the Health Canada, and they've combined their pooled their resources to try to promote the vaccination campaign. And then there's also an independent campaign, independent groups that have set up that are providing a different alternative information and outlook on this whole H1N1 situation. And one of those groups is Toronto Truth Seekers, which Stephen Davies featured in his videos. He was talking about the Don't Get Shot videos on YouTube that you can find on the Davies channel. And they hold their meetings up in, not that far from here, CKLN. We're at Ryerson University, which is right near Yonge and Dundas. And they're usually at Saturdays at Yonge and Dundas. You can find the Toronto Truth Seekers. They're usually out there handing out flyers, and one of the lead Toronto Truth Seekers, Black Krishna, is actually one of the hosts here on CKLN. He hosts on the morning shows on the Rude Awakening. He hosts on Mondays and Tuesdays and Thursdays, I believe. Those are the days that he's on at 6 a.m., anyone who's awake.
at 6 a.m. You might want to listen to that because you can tune in. You can wake. Basically, we're just trying to get the news out here, wake some people up here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday, because we're talking a lot about words. We got some info, and we're going to be playing a few clips of Toronto Truth Seekers. But I think what I think would be good to play would be actually just because some people might not think that this info is coming from legit sources. Well, if you're thinking that, you might want to hear this clip. This one is actually just came out yesterday on the Associated Press. We're going to play an Associated Press clip here. So this is a mainstream media. This is the news that there's a lot of people that trust the Associated Press. Well, here's what the AP is saying on the topic of swine flu vaccines pulled from Canada.
Doctors in Canada are being told to stay away from a batch of 170,000 swine flu vaccines following six reports of allergic reactions. The vaccine in question was produced by GlaxoSmithKline, which insists none of the other vaccines it has distributed around the world need to be pulled. Authorities routinely monitor vaccines for any signals of problems such as allergic reactions. While those are rare, they do sometimes occur, and company officials say they advise doctors not to use the batch after getting word of a higher than normal number of reactions. It's not clear how many of the 170,000 vaccines have been administered, and officials haven't released any details on the victims. Still, they are urging people not to be alarmed and add that any allergic reactions occur shortly after inoculation, don't last long, and have not led to any long-term health problems. Tim McGuire, The Associated Press.
So that's the words coming out of The Associated Press. This is a report from yesterday of a major batch of swine flu vaccine that has been pulled in Canada because of severe allergic reactions. So this is a serious situation, and hopefully it's under control. Hopefully that they can pull it, and it's just this one batch, although they're unsure why it is that one batch from the article that I was reading in the paper. So there is a lot of different varying information that's getting out there, and I just wanted to play that Associated Press clip as a lead-in for our next clip. This is actually what I'm going to play here is an interview with another independent filmmaker. We played the Stephen Davies earlier, and this one is actually with Dan Dix, who's an activist filmmaker, local filmmaker, and he's made some movies, and he's been in some movies, and he has also been making some documentation or some video segments on the situation of the H1N1 vaccination clinics. He was there on day one. He was there a few weeks ago, and here's the interview right here with Dan Dix from Press for Truth. PressForTruth.ca is his site if you want to check out some of the videos. And here's when I got to talk to him on the street. This is a bit of our conversation.
With Press for Truth, members in BC and in Calgary and Alberta and Winnipeg and in London and in Halifax and Montreal, and it's really starting to spread, man. It's pretty cool.
And I was wondering, what's the relationship with Press for Truth and Infowars.com?
Well, they post a lot of my stuff. I guess they like what I do. I remember back when Steve and I made the film The Nation's Deathbed, they promoted that quite a bit. They asked us to send them a copy. We did send them a copy. And lately, I don't know, Jones has been posting a lot of my stuff. I guess he recognizes that Toronto Truth Seekers and Press for Truth down here in Toronto are doing some good work, so they recognize that.
Trying to get some info out on the H1N1, and I noticed on some of your clips that you've been down actually at the vaccination sites.
Yeah, we went down to some of the clinics. A few days ago, I went to the clinic at Metro Hall, and that was quite the experience. As soon as we went in, we asked for clearance. We went to the security guards, and he contacted management to make sure we have clearance as press. But we didn't get too far into the questions until people started getting agitated, especially when the word thimerosal came up. And then people started shaking their heads and saying, what are you guys doing? And then the same guy who gave us clearance came up and said, what kind of questions are you guys asking? You got to get out of here. So, and we did provide a lot of the people in line with information. But to be honest, at that point, it was a little too late. They are already, they're in line. They were already willing to take the shot, so it was kind of too late at that point to stop any of them from taking the shot. But we did what we could, and we made a few videos to show what's going on.
We aren't sure what's in these shots. What are your thoughts on the thimerosal?
Well, it's been known for many years that mercury has been linked to certain neurological disorders. Many people have talked about that for many years. A document was just recently linked. That's the insert to the vaccines that shows up at the clinics. Now, this thing lists all the possible side effects, all the possible things that could arise, the issues that could come out of taking the vaccine. And they plainly lay it out right there for you, what's going to be in this thing. Now, the mainstream media is downplaying it, saying, you know, people who talk about those sort of things are conspiracy theorists, pay no attention to those crazy guys. Meanwhile, in the clinics itself, the documents are there to show what the serious issues could be.
Serious issues, serious things are going on, and that was just an interview there with Dan Dix. Dan Dix of PressForTruth.ca, Press for Truth TV. He's got the clips posted on YouTube, and that was some words of what it was like when he went down to the vaccination center, and he was covering it for PressForTruth.ca. Major things have been going on, and we actually got a bit of an update on what happened yesterday. I don't want to switch the topic too much because we got some more clips coming up on the swine flu, but apparently Dan Dix was down yesterday with some of the Toronto Tree Seekers and some other activists at protesting a climate change a banquet, I guess it was more, or an info session, or an evening with Al Gore, I believe it was called. It was a big night, and they were asked to leave by security, from what I've heard. I don't have all the details, but we're going to get into this a bit, into the climate change, I think, a bit later on in the show. But first, what I'll do is we'll just throw it to a music track, and then we'll be back with some more info on this situation with the H1N1, because we've got an interesting, more into a debate-style clip where we've got different sides, different viewpoints on the H1N1. That's coming up. First, we'll play a track by Unknown Misery and Ali, the son of Abdul. It's a track called Sickness off the 24-hour.
Yeah. Check it out. Check, check. Yeah. Split this. Yeah. Check, check. Split it. Yo. Split this sickness. Get this in this wicked swift drift. Antis. All assistance system segment is their sentence. Centers end this. They will send in sensors. Several of assembling special spending on protections mentioned. Spreading of infections. Engine shedding of our flesh in pressure measures. Rooms of mesh electric severed. Many felt fresh fragrance. Farewell weather. Fence and cages stare at us and encase us. Pacing glare heads of the sky untaken. One world with no eyes to gaze in. Gun burst at the sun to break it. Sun to break. We can split this sickness back and forth. We can stick this image back and forth. Like they have my people going back and forth. We can stick with pitchforks, ask for more. Have them hit with liquid gas and all. 10 people in a room, only masked for 4. Barricaded by FEMA, we can't crash the door. Didn't mobilize on time, so we ash on floors.
Reverse the ashes from flesh. I remember blasting cassettes. Talking revolution while passing the sets. Then the cassette became the compact disc so quick. And the talking got diverted by the system glitch. Poverty, then we started deading one another. Willie Lynch. Slavery was switched, all the talking was ditched. They put into place everything we said they would place. But didn't defend our freedom, we blamed our own. When we got caught with a case and named it chrome at comrade's face. One less soldier on our side, that's what it means. Wake up or die sleeping, cause money is a myth. They almost done building the FEMA camp prisons. Separating men, women, and children. Gas chambers in the train springing. Until our dead bodies all nagging in a pile of nobodies. To the new world, we are disorders. Load the shoddy. We can split this sickness back and forth. We can stick this image back and forth. Like they have my people going back and forth. We can stick with pitchforks, ask for more. Have them hit with liquids, gas and all. With 10 people in the room, only mass for 4. Barricaded by FEMA, we can't crash the door. Didn't mobilize on time, so we gash on floors. Organize, mobilize, infiltrate, kill the state, plan, attain necessity. Stand with people loyally, wiretap, fire back, the queen is not our royalty. Fist up cultures, all life, we will be free if we organize, mobilize, strategize. Barbed wire set fire if we set fires. If we organize, mobilize, strategize. The barbed wire set fires, we set fires.
What the cynics fail to understand is that the ground has shifted beneath them.
The ground is shifting. Word up. Sickness going on. I'm not quite sure what to say about the swine flu. So we've prepared an edited assembly of clips featuring Dr. David Butler Jones of Health Canada, the main man in this country who's pushing, he wants to get basically everyone in Canada vaccinated. I believe he said that. And also an alternative view, I guess the other side of the whole situation presented. You'll hear some members of the Toronto Truth Seekers in this clip warning people about the dangers of the vaccine, and you'll hear a lot of other voices too. So, but we'll start the here. We've got a few minutes of an edited segment here of different clips, different points of view, and we're going to start it off with Health Canada, the head of Health Canada, Dr. David Butler Jones, and then you'll be hearing some more voices. So here's our H1N1 update on the H1N1 vaccine situation.
Just 8 months ago, most Canadians had never heard of pandemic H1N1, let alone thought about protecting themselves and their families from a pandemic. Yet more and more Canadians continue to get vaccinated against this preventable disease. That's the key. It is preventable. Why suffer through millions of illnesses if you don't have to?
Well, Toronto Tree Seekers are trying to figure out what's going on, and we're 1 week into the vaccinations. Do you have any words on this?
Well, now they're creating artificial scarcity.
As per other communities across the countries, there has been some slowing down of vaccine rollout, but that is, as Dr. Butler-Jones, will continue to be dealt with.
But what we have seen, and certainly in the ICU review, that those who present late, those who are initially getting well and get sicker, recognizing that that's an important sign that you may either have a secondary infection or something is happening that's different if you have severe illness, shortness of breath.
You know, the media keeps hyping these vaccines, keeps saying, go get the vaccine. But, you know, the EPA says I can't eat 1/25,000th of that vaccine because it's got too much mercury, but yet I can mainline inject it. There's an ostrich for you. Crikey.
I think the lineups are getting a lot smaller, and I think we're making a good effect on these getting the lineups lower. So we're doing good because my brother and I are going door to door.
We're giving out tons of flyers in the streets. We've also taken it to flyering cars. And we're doing things like we're going through parking garages, we're going on the streets.
Speaking about the Public Health Agency of Canada and my role, perhaps public health is best known in terms of, as I like to refer, over the work and responding to infectious disease outbreaks, we are, or plagues and pestilence are us. Clearly, that's not the whole story, but it is the most visible.
People who died of the vaccine supposedly died of other illnesses, yet the all common factor among them all is that they had the vaccine.
Did they wait too late to seek attention? Did they not get their Tamiflu? Did they not get their Tamiflu in time?
Dr. Butler-Jones, I believe, has been on the news for the last month or so promoting the hell out of this. Says it's completely 100% safe and effective. Well, the safe and effective, why are people dying from it?
There is something less than a 1 in 100,000 risk of a severe allergic reaction related to this. The vast majority, 99 whatever percent, can be treated because when you get your immunization, there's someone there who's prepared, if needed, to give you adrenaline, etc. So 1 in 100,000. So if you look across Canada, 300 potentially, if every single Canadian got immunized, potentially 340 cases of allergic reaction, severe allergic reaction. Not to minimize, it is severe.
And now they're saying, oh, it was the wrong batch. Give me a break. President Roosevelt said, nothing in politics happens by accident. If it happened, you can bet it was planned that way.
Pandemic planning. We've been saying for years that a pandemic would happen sooner or later.
So if that quote comes from a president, and I think 32nd and 3rd degree Freemason at that too, you can pretty much bet anything that you read on the news is all put there for your consumption.
swine flu shots and stuff, and you're mentioning that you actually went to one of the...
Actually, yeah, my friend's cousin got herself and her eldest daughter inoculated, and she was afraid because her husband works for the military, so the whole swine flu there, you have to vaccine, you have to get it. So I was just waiting in line, talking to him. I was basically telling people in line the truth about the swine flu, the truth about the vaccine, just historical aspects that you wouldn't hear in the media. If you look it up, it's there. So we're just out here trying to exercise as much free speech as we can before, because I know the vaccine clinics are loaded, almost to capacity. It's almost like a police state. I've actually been to one. It's almost like a police state because they have security guards standing by the door preventing you from getting in and out of a public area. And when his cousin and daughter went to get their flu shot, I couldn't even speak to him practically face to face. The security had to get him, bring him over as if we were in a jail cell or something.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Not that I support the vaccine, it's just my cousin took it. I do not support it. I do not support any kind of vaccine in any way. You have a natural immune system. There are other alternatives. You can use herbal medicine that'll work just the same. Do not get a vaccine. Why? You know what you do? Go to a doctor who's qualified, who knows about herbal medicine. We've been using herbal medicine from the beginning of time. We always haven't had needles and vaccination shots. From the beginning of time, we used herbals. Why fix it if it's not broke? Thank you very much.
So that's basically our stance. Go natural. Do not go synthetic with the vaccines.
Of course, what we're seeing right now is that vaccinating an entire population really isn't that simple. But let me put it this way. Vaccination is simple in the sense that it's a small price to pay for immense economic value. If we weren't spending $60 million annually to immunize kids against polio, we would be spending today some $2.5 billion just to maintain all the iron lungs that we would otherwise need.
Think about that. I haven't got the shot, not going to. I feel perfectly healthy. It's because people have an immune system. People forget. It's a God-given natural defense in your body. To keep your body healthy, eat organics, think positive, listen to positive music, watch positive TV, you can build up your immune system.
At the very least, influenza is 3 or 4 days of misery.
As you approach the door, the security guards, large security guards, this is when I went there, stopping you from going in. Why? That's a police state. You're only there to get a shot. It's not a criminal investigation. No. He's there to get a needle. Why do they treat everyone like a police state? That's my question. The lineup's so long. Fortunately, I was only there for about 20 minutes just talking to my friend, so it wasn't long for me. But you're talking about little kids waiting in line there, so it's terrible, man. Honestly, how people bought the lie, man. It's so terrible.
In fact, as a percentage of population, it appears more Canadians have already been immunized than any other country in the world.
The media and the government are saying, take it, take it, take it. Health Canada's David Butler Jones is saying, take it. We're saying here, Health Canada whistleblower Dr. Shiv Chopra talk about how corrupt Health Canada is.
I will demand that nobody's going to give me a vaccine unless they give me guarantee that no harm will occur to me, my family, my community, and my compatriots. Because they are doing it under international lie that there's going to be a pandemic. There's no proof. There hasn't been a pandemic like that, ever. And these flu viruses have existed for millions of years. And they've been mating and mutating for all those millions of years. Nothing has happened. Nothing is going to happen.
It is unpredictable.
In Toronto, we have connections who work inside H1N1 vaccine clinics. They send us text messages saying EMS has been called. Someone just got taken away on a stretcher. A woman just got wrapped in tinfoil because she was shivering after a shot, and so they wrapped her up like a baked potato to preserve the heat. This is the information we're getting from inside H1N1 clinics, where all day they're seeing casualty reports, casualties of the shot. There's a mandatory 15-minute waiting period at an H1N1 clinic after you get a shot because of the potential side effects. The bottom line is, it's a flu, folks. It's a flu, and they're trying to scare you, and they're trying to scare me too, and we're not going to take it. We're not going to take the shot. We're not going to take the propaganda. And now the government's spending millions of our tax dollars telling us to sneeze on our sleeves? That's disgusting. Do not let them talk to you like that. Do not let them tell you to sneeze on your sleeve.
Lots of debate about immunization out there.
I'm never satisfied because it's not about our accomplishments on their own. It's our accomplishments with respect to a new world order system that's currently vaccinating thousands of people a day across Canada and causing a lot of damage.
One side effect, Guillain-Barre, that everybody thinks is a vaccine issue, which we've never been able to show because the rates of those who've gotten vaccine versus not is exactly the same. But from influenza cases, we would see somewhere between 300 and 800 cases of Guillain-Barre as a consequence of having been infected with the virus. So, if this is not a complicated decision in terms of the safety of vaccine and its benefits.
People don't understand what government is. Okay, if you go to a mental hospital, you don't go to a mental hospital with a broken leg. Everyone understands that a mental hospital is for the mind. Ment is Latin for mind. Ment. Govern is to control, to regulate. When you govern, you control. So the word government is mind control. It translates into mind control. And people think the government's there to protect them. It's there to control them, to control their minds.
Don't get the shot, and don't let Big Pharma side win by making you a little bit sick now so you get sicker later and buy more of their crap. Do not let the government tell you where to sneeze.
All right, some controversial views. The H1N1 is a major situation. We got a pandemic going on, and people have different points of views. So we just wanted to try to show that with that clip that you can hear some people saying different opinions on it. And we really just want to try to provide some alternative information, some information you might have already heard, and then some information that you might not have heard yet. And then the people, hopefully you can decide for yourself in the issue of vaccinations, because it is an important issue. And just like before you make your decision, just make sure you take a few breaths. We're going to take a musical break. It's a track called Breathe. It's by Mr. Liff and Bahamadia. Check it out. Word of Mouth Wednesday, 7-8 p.m.
Pardon me, so rude to not introduce. My name is Liv, come on, I be getting loose. On the MI, the C is just a sickle I use to perforate the neck and pop the head with the news. Beheaded rappers, usually indebted rappers. Factors they miscalculated, left them all annihilated. I'm overskilled and understated, often underrated, overlooked because the market's oversaturated. I'm fascinated with this fabricated reality we're living in, so imprisoning. A far cry from what I was envisioning. It took freedom and made it limited, imminent. Doom awaits, hardships accumulate. Assuming you relate to this glimpse of human fate. Open your eyes, be wise and speak truth. Vivid with expression when you're representing you. Stress levels like you wouldn't believe. You ever need some relief, everybody just breathe. Stress levels like you wouldn't believe. You ever need some relief, so I gotta just breathe. Stress levels like you wouldn't believe. You ever need some relief, everybody just breathe. Stress levels like you wouldn't believe. You ever need some relief, everybody.
What's good? I'm behind from the west side of Philly. The woman known for globally transmitting ridiculous syllable flipping for the last decade. Is some change for a living. All about cultivating air like energy and building borderline backpack. But I still stack cash. I'm an entrepreneur. I don't rap just to rap. Don't get me twisted or confused with the typical indie artist who be singing the blues. I'm not that shrewd. In fact, when it pertains to my business, I have paid my dues. I am in this game to win it. All the false humility I've been witnessing is sickening. It clashes with a broad like me, one of the realest, most qualified to expose what the deal is. Call it how I see it in a minute. Can't be fearful or timid in a leadership position. Aspire to advance anything other than that is bullshit. Stress levels like you wouldn't believe. Yo, I need some relief. Everybody just breathe. Stress levels like you wouldn't believe. Yo, I need some relief. So I gotta just breathe. Stress levels like you wouldn't believe. Yo, I need some relief. Everybody just breathe. Stress levels like you wouldn't believe. Yo, I need some relief. Everybody.
Yo, what up, my sister?
Hey, now, what's up? Look, I'm out here maintaining.
True. But you know, these bills, they just keep on showing up in my crib, you know what I'm saying?
Yours, it's a struggle for everybody out here, you know, hold your head though, you know?
Yeah, I'm trying, but I feel like it's time to rise above this world we live in, you know?
Right.
Elevate.
Word of Mouth Wednesday. The clocks here in the studio are reading 7:32 p.m. We're here every Wednesday, 7 to 8 p.m. It's a Word of Mouth Wednesday, and we just wanted to get into, it's an important topic, because around this time of year, it is the holiday season, and around this time of year comes up the Holiday Appeal for Class War Prisoners. It's an annual event that takes place. It's a fundraising event. And the main Class War prisoner that's on the headline on this ad for the event I'm seeing is Free Mumia Abu-Jamal. Mumia Abu-Jamal, we've talked about in the past. We've played some of his commentaries in the past. And I just wanted to get into that, playing the latest commentary from Mumia Abu-Jamal. It's called Colony Still. Doesn't seem to want to stream. So what we're going to do, actually, till I can figure this out, I'm still hoping to get to play this latest commentary. So until then, we'll just play a musical track here. And this one is by 956. And it's called Toronto First. Stay tuned.
Wake up and face it, they won't play this. Don't turn off your radio, just change the station.
Hi, hello, how you do? This is me, while that's you. This is real, that is fake. No, not you, I mean what you say. Hi, hello, how you do? This is me, while that's you. This is real, that is fake. No, not you, I mean what you say.
We'll be right back.
up. Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're back here. That was 95.6 Toronto First. Big track there. We're just going to get into playing, actually, the got that Mumia Abu Jamal clip to play. Word of Mouth Wednesday.
Colony Still, one of the greatest theorists, analysts, and critics of colonialism, was the late Martinican psychiatrist, Frantz Fanon. But Dr. Fanon's work dwelled on the crises of colonialism in Africa. But colonialism was a global phenomenon, affecting Africa, Asia, and Latin America as well. We like to think that colonialism was a problem of yesteryear, the 60s, 70s, and early 80s. It's history, right? Well, what matters isn't what we think, but what others in those countries think. We should also note that things change, sometimes, in form, but not in essence. Earlier this year, a group of Pakistani leaders, intellectuals, activists, and scientists produced a brief but telling report addressing the problems facing their nation. The 120-page report, entitled Making Pakistan a Tenable State, lists 185 points. Among them is the following, point 14, which states, "Today Pakistan finds itself fully trapped in the whirl of liberalization, globalization, privatization, and the so-called war on terror. The economic agreements and covenants bind Pakistan to follow policies dictated from outside. Similarly, the strategies and policies adopted by Pakistan to defend itself against foreign aggression are hugely dependent upon the defense-related agreements signed with the United States. Frequent visits to Pakistan of the officials of the Departments of State and Defense are indicative of the advices of the superpower we are obliged to follow. Small wonder Pakistan is recognized all over the world as a client state of the United States." Client state. It's like the 21st century term for colony. For if a nation can't freely make its own foreign policy and must abide by the will of another, client is but a polite term. The report covers Pakistan's colonial history, when it was part of India, when it was once known as East and West Pakistan, divided by a vast expanse of Indian territory, and the control of the ruling elites by the moneyed classes. When we speak of such states as democracies, we're hardly being honest. They are democracies in name only, client states of the superpower. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
Word of Mouth Wednesday. That was Mumia Abu Jamal. That was a prisonradio.org commentary. You can find those at prisonradio.org. And I played that as a preparation of announcing this event, that you can find the flyers if you actually come down to CKLN Studios here at 55 Gould Street at Ryerson University campus in the Student Center building. Go up to the second floor and you can see a rack with flyers and information and event. And one of the events is the annual holiday appeal. You can, and I got the flyer right here in my hands. Free Mumia Abu Jamal, free all class war prisoners. Come to a fundraising event. $5 for advance tickets, $8 at the door. This is not a charity. It's a duty and act of solidarity with those in prison. There's speeches, music, and food and refreshments. It's coming up on Friday, December the 11th from 7 to 10 p.m. And it's at Steelworkers Hall, 25 Cecil Street in Toronto. The sponsor is the Partisan Defense Committee. And it's, yeah, so it's in a few Fridays from now. It's going to be Friday, December the 11th, 7 p.m. That's the annual holiday appeal. So I'm sure we'll be announcing it in the upcoming episodes. I think we got a few more shows before then. So you'll probably hear a bit more on that here. And what I just wanted to get into playing is another track. I think we played one of his tracks, music tracks, last week during our interview. Last week we had an interview guest in the studio. We had Tristan Coffey from the Innocent Prisoners Society. And during that interview, I think we played a track by Conspiracy, because Conspiracy was the first guy that really got me thinking about, or he's the first guy that told me about Malachi York, Dr. York, which was the prisoner that I was interviewing Tristan about. And Tristan's got the Innocent Prisoner Society campaign going on, information campaign about Dr. York going on. And this track by Conspiracy, I just wanted to play, called Alien Nation. So check out, and you know, Conspiracy from the SBU, Supreme Being Unit, is with his brother Mindbender. They are, some pretty big local independent artists here. Here is Conspiracy, Alien Nation. What did my phone say?
Sentinels, stories of lore like Final Fantasy sequels, saga of superheroes, read Cosmic Odyssey, protected by the Dinobots, lives on Metroplex, Firestorm and Green Lantern power level, it's the end of the line for you Galvatron, true to the vibe of Rodimus Prime, love each creature, black holes get deeper, see the strange features, recognize the unreal, alien nation, studied in secret bases, among us in public places, yet they can't find any traces, man I demolished like Simon Phoenix, me and War double teeth and green chick, impacts like a photon torpedo, cloaking device son, you can't see me yo, memory combined, just interact online. Don't be xenophobic. Every thought to code switch. Virus cure to upload. Porn software for the hardcore. Computer junkie. Keys of knowledge corporations front me. Funk is the drug I distribute. Intelligence rhymer. The next level complexity. Proof for making soul with emotional energy. Love each creature. Black holes get deeper. See the strange features. Recognize the unreal. Alien nation. Studied in secret bases. Among us in public places. Yet they can't find any traces. Make a bootleg DVD. 3D glasses to watch TV. Fun is making entertainment and living life painless. The truth is out there. If only on this planet we share, they'd find the truth that we got. Countries could stop war, maybe talk. Power like lawnmower man, but under control. Hierarchy's top position, lead rule. Complete domination. Let's correct this stage of existence. Majority with political authority. Glory beyond description.
Technomancer, plasma sword, I become a megazord. Recognize the unreal, alienation, studied in secret faces, among us in public places, yet they can't find any traces.
Something. What if you want them to intervene in the currency markets? You might ask them to do that, wouldn't you?
That is an aspect under the responsibility of the Treasury. That's not the responsibility of the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, but I think you work rather closely. You're both on the President's Working Group on Financial Markets, so you collude there on what you might do. Are you aware of any precise times that the Federal Reserve gets involved in the in the gold market? Because actually there's authority in the Exchange Stabilization Fund at least to be involved. But what do you know about the Fed ever being involved in the gold market? Whether it's
word of mouth Wednesday. Those are just some clips there of Ron Paul. Right now, there's a big thing going on in the States. We got the Federal Reserve could be being audited, so we're not sure what's gonna happen, and we're not sure if it's actually gonna happen. But it's looking more likely because there's more and more people are calling for it within the United States. Officials, representatives of the people, are looking into the secretive Federal Reserve situation. We might get into playing more of that, but we're running a bit out of time, and I've already hyped some clips that we got to play, so we're just going to play it. And this one, I've already prefaced it earlier in the show. Something happened yesterday, and I wasn't actually there. I was planning to go, but I didn't make it down. Yesterday evening, at the exhibition, Al Gore appeared. Al Gore is the leading climatologist, or the leading spokesperson for the climate change situation, the carbon taxes, and the new system of green. The green shift, basically, is coming in. We got climate change is a major topic of discussion in all governments and all across the world. And I guess a group had arrived there to protest with some of the people. I think Dan Dix was one of the people there. We interviewed him. We played the clip of the interview earlier on him talking about the H1N1. Well, there's some people are also getting info out on alternative info on climate change out on and environmentalism out. So I just wanted to play a clip here. We'll play a clip of some of the officials talking about it. These are the opposition critics in the House of Commons, in the federal government, in Ottawa. You're going to hear some people here talking about climate change and some of the voices. I think you'll be hearing the NDP, Gene Crowder. You'll be hearing David McGuinty of the Liberals. And this is their message to the current government of Canada about the situation.
On federal climate change policy, it has become blatantly obvious to both Canadians and the international community that this government has no plan for the future on climate change.
In a recent report by the International Energy Agency, they released its World Energy Outlook and warned that each year of delay in addressing climate change will cost $500 billion globally. And this is the kind of legacy that we are leaving behind for our children, our grandchildren, or our great-grandchildren. And I would argue, Madam Speaker, that it's time for us to come together as a House, work across party lines to take on this very serious challenge and demonstrate that Canada can be a leader in fighting climate change in both this country and internationally. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
So now we're in a situation where Canada is, in contrast to the European Union, whose ambassador to Canada testified yesterday in the committee here, told us that there are over 1,000 pages of analysis and planning on the internet sites of the European Union and all their 27 countries that belong there, detailing a very, very well thought out, well thought through plan. We have nothing in Canada. It's important for Canadians to know that as we come to the important moment of Copenhagen. The government now has evolved its messaging in another way. It now claims that Canada is part of a North American agreement on climate change. Let's just look at that for a moment. My sources in Washington tell me that nobody on Capitol Hill in Washington is talking about a North American plan. The folks I've spoken to in Mexico City, who are seized with climate change and Copenhagen negotiations, asked me if I had misunderstood something when I spoke to them, officials there who said, we have no idea what you're talking about when you talk about a North American plan, nor a North American target, or a North American trading system. That isn't to say that we shouldn't have been working feverishly towards a tripartite approach on a continental basis.
Word of mouth Wednesday. So those are some words from the opposition critics. That's their criticism of the current conservative government's stance on climate change. And it's really it's getting into a confusing issue because I'm not sure where people are standing on this issue. I guess everyone's got a different opinion, a different outlook on it, on the science behind it. But now there's a big controversy. You can read it in the major newspapers. You can see it on TV. And it has to do with, I think they're calling it Climate Gate. They're saying that info is being exposed, that scientists have been skewing the data, have been doing some not legitimate, some illegitimate stuff with the numbers and with the climate change. And well, so we're not sure, but apparently that is what happened yesterday. We're reporting this on the Word of Mouth Wednesday, and we're getting this from sources online that we're finding out that yesterday there was a protest that was denied at the exhibition, at the Al Gore event. The protesters were not allowed to stay. They were escorted by security off the premises of the exhibition place, which usually is only closed off for a few weeks in the summer, I know, for when they have the exhibition on. But usually during the year, people can walk through exhibition place as a park, as in, you know, a place that's open. People can walk around and it's, a public area. But apparently not when you have a major climate official coming in and they're going to be discussing, you know, the carbon taxes and everything going on. Well, you think we had a major official. Imagine having 20 major officials from the 20 biggest countries, the biggest economies in the world coming into Toronto, which is what they're saying that could be happening. Okay, Huntsville is it going to be too small to have a G20, because originally it was going to be the G8, and apparently the G8 still might be in Huntsville, some big resort up, hours north of here. But apparently, because it's not big enough to host that many world leaders, and they don't have, I guess they might not have the security situation we have in Toronto. But, well, let's just say people are now talking about what could be happening next summer. And one of the people who's always talking about, well, he's always got opinions on stuff like this in the activist community, is Black Krishna from CKLN Rude Awakening Show. And this is his, I caught up with him and I asked him about what he thought about G20 coming into Toronto. Here is what he had
the G20,
say.
They're saying they might be moved to Toronto. Do you have any comments on that?
I do have some comments on that. I have heard about the G20 moving here. We were planning on covering it in Huntsville. But with respect to it moving to Toronto, you have to look at the G20 summit in Pittsburgh for an example of what could happen here. There was practically martial law declared, sound weapons used, people tear gassed, the cops in crazy military formations beating down protesters is a tough word, beating down just people there, some of whom were protesting, some of whom just happened to be in the neighborhood. And so we have to be careful about accepting the fact that world leaders need massive amounts of security whenever they meet, because if they were any good at their jobs, they would. We'd be like, oh, great, the guys in charge are meeting. Hopefully we'll get some more good stuff out of this. But that's an important sign, is that before the G20 summit, we have to make sure that that we reach out to our police, reach out to our bureaucracy, reach out to other Torontonians and explain to them what we don't want happening here as a result of the G20 summit being moved here.
That's right. You're hearing some important words, important reaction there on the news that the G20 could be coming into Toronto. And of course, we'll be talking about it on this show, because we're always talking about activist events and stuff. And I'm sure that'll be a big one, because those are always major events. G20 in the city will be major, and it would be happening sometime the summer of 2010 would be happening. So that would be months off, and you know, people are talking about it. The word is getting out. And the word we got words on a lot of things. We went through H1N1. We talked a bit about the climate change. We played the Mumia Abu-Jamal clip. We just played that clip on the G20. We had some more info on the Federal Reserve. We were just going to get into that when we played a quick Ron Paul and Alan Grayson. They got the bill to audit the Federal Reserve. Maybe we'll get into more of that in the next week or in the future episodes. We were going to play also something on the HST. We haven't gotten to that much, but it is a major thing going on. 13% tax coming in. So who really knows? But what I'm going to do is we're just wrapping up here. Then we're just going to read out a few events, but I'll just play a quick one of my favorite Barack Obama quotes, and then we'll be right back.
For the American Revolution did not end when the British guns fell silent. It was never something to be won only on a battlefield or fulfilled only in our founding documents. It was not simply a struggle to break free from empire and declare independence. The American Revolution was and remains an ongoing struggle in the minds and hearts of the people to live up to our founding creed.
Word of mouth. Wednesday, we're just wrapping up here, and just wanted to read a few events coming up. We got some events coming on in the city of Toronto coming up tomorrow. It's the Justice for Janitors rally. It's coming on coinciding with the OFL convention, and it's in support of impact cleaning workers tomorrow at 8:30 a.m. 65 Queen Street West, southwest corner of Bay Street and Queen, across from City Hall. Also happening tomorrow is World AIDS Day's launch party. It's Empower Youth Arts and Activism, featuring art exhibitions and guest speakers. It's from 6 to 9 p.m. tomorrow at 45 Wilcox Street, the New College, William Dew Auditorium, U of T. It's a free event. Also this Saturday, November the 28th, it's a countdown to Copenhagen. Who in Canada is killing the International Climate Treaty? George Monboit speaks on the Copenhagen climate change negotiations at the J.R. McLeod Auditorium, Medical Sciences Building of U of T, and a suggested donation of $10 to $25. Nobody will be turned away for a lack of funds, though. Also, next Wednesday is a National Day of Action, Justice for Migrant Workers, being called the Coalition of Change Caregivers and Temporary Foreign Workers. There's an event going on next Wednesday, 11 a.m., the corner of King Street and University. And next Wednesday, we'll be back, hopefully, on the Word of Mouth. So maybe we'll have some info on the Justice for Migrant Workers campaign. And then next Thursday, December 3rd at 7 p.m., there's an information session on the HST with Rosario Marchese, from Trinity Spadina, and you can find more info at rosariomarchese.ca. And also I mentioned the holiday appeal for Mumia Abu-Jamal coming up on December the 11th. We'll probably talk about a bit more about that in the episodes to come, but I just want to thank everyone for listening today on the Word of Mouth Wednesday, and we're just going to throw it to our next show, which is The Blue Remedy, featuring The Blues' Dr. Julie Hill. My name is Daniel Libby, and word out.